RV, emisora virtual de la UNAD para la audiencia global en línea.
Welcome to In Villonaire. The academic radio space for English learners from the Instituto Virtual de Lenguas. News, suggestions, culture, language tips, literature, entertainment, opinion, learning, sharing, and more. Welcome back.
Share, enjoy, discover, practice, and learn.
In Villonaire.
In Villonaire.
In Villonaire.
For you, different than you ever heard
Hello boys and girls, bienvenidos a nuestro programa radial In Villonaire, el programa del Instituto Virtual de Lenguas de la Universidad Nacional, abierta y a distancia.
Con ustedes María Fernanda Nieto y Leonardo Leguizamón, tutores del Instituto Virtual de Lenguas. Today we have a very special program. In this program you will listen to some poetry and the life of Jorge Luis Borges.
Sí, Leo, además de esto seguiremos compartiendo con Justin Negard, que compartirá con nosotros experiencias con el español, con nuestra cultura.
I hope our listeners are as excited as we are. This program is intending to show people that English is an easy language that requires discipline, practice, and to be self-conscious about your process.
Claro, Leo, y cómo no estar emocionados, y la verdad, sí, en este programa lo que hemos intentado es mostrar a nuestros oyentes que el inglés es fácil y que solo requiere disciplina, práctica y ser muy autocríticos con nuestro proceso.
Well, wait no more. I invite you to continue listening to our guest, Justin Negard.
Listo, Leo, vamos que estamos preparados y no sigamos esperando más, así que gracias por tu invitación y escuchemos a nuestro invitado, Justin.
How about your Spanish? ¿Ya lo hablas?
Sí, yo puedo dijo español cuando necesito, pero no muy bueno. I'm still learning. Aprendo, sí, I'm still learning. Aprendo porque la familia de mi esposa solo hablan en español. And so it's important that I learn, and I mean, I need to speak to her grandmother, her grandfather. I need to know if people are talking about me behind my back. If I ever get lost in Bogota, I need to be able to speak Spanish, or I will just be lost forever. So I'm learning. I'm a very tough critic on myself, but my wife and my friends tell me that I'm a lot better than I give myself credit for. Even right now, I could probably speak a little more Spanish, but I'm very self-conscious. So I get better and better every time. So ask me that question in another couple of years, and I'll probably be much more confident.
It's interesting how you want to learn the language just because you need it. For our listeners, it's good to understand that learning a language is not an easy task, but it's rewarding at the end. You just have to try to worry less and just dive into it. So, Justin, what have been some difficulties you've been dealing with the Spanish language?
Without a doubt, with Spanish, yo tengo un problema grande con tenses, past, present, future. I hate that. I screw that up all the time. But apart from that, estar versus ser, I screw that up a lot, you know, little things like that. But the tenses are the worst thing by far. I know it a little bit, but I always screw it up. So anytime you hear me speaking Spanish, it is always the present. I've never done anything in the past, and I will never do anything in the future when I'm speaking Spanish.
Yeah, you're right. Spanish morphology is much more complex than English tenses. So English learners definitely have an easier task when it comes to conjugated verbs, right? How about the vocabulary? Are there any words from Spanish that you find funny or difficult?
Yeah, there are many words that I have a hard time pronouncing and saying in Spanish. You heard me a second ago saying aprendo, that always screws me up. I'm always yelled at by my wife and her family because it's Bogota, not Bogota. You know, I pronounce that wrong sometimes. Without a doubt, I would say the most challenging Spanish word, though, is refrigerador. So in English, it's refrigerator. You know, you have that strong G, and you have some ups and downs in that word that give you your tongue a little break when you're saying the word. But in Spanish, refrigerador, I mean, man, that's a trip. So every now and then I get words like that and I stumble over them and then everyone laughs at me. So I just try to stay out of the kitchen.
That's funny. So those long words are definitely not the easiest, right? How about some extra practice to improve your Spanish? Let's try a trabalenguas, a tongue twister.
This is going to be bad. Tres tristes tigres. Tragaban trigo, entre tristes trastos, sentados tras un trigal, entre tristes trastos, tragaban trigo, tres tristes tigres. I don't know if that's a real question you wanted to ask me or if you're just messing around, but there you go.
Actually, we were just messing around. Now, on a more serious note, as a second language learner, what are some advices you can give to students at the university who are learning a foreign language?
Any advice I would give to someone learning any second language? Spanish is my best second language, but in my life, I've also learned a little Italian because half my family is Italian. And I've also learned a little bit of Norwegian because my other half of the family, my father's side of my family, are from Norway. So I've learned a little bit of that. And then last but not least, I learned a very little bit of Chinese because I'm crazy and I thought that might be fun. It wasn't. But I did learn a little bit of Chinese. So like if I'm going to the library, I would say, "Wo yao chu tu shu guan," and so on and so on, which is kind of funny. And that's pretty much the only sentence I've remembered. But one thing I've learned with any second language is I kind of think of it like I'm packing my suitcase for a trip. So, you know, I pack my clothing and I pack everything that I need in the physical world. But when I'm learning my language, I try to imagine if I'm going somewhere, what are the words I'm going to need to know on my trip? So things, you know, like where's the restaurant? Go here, go there. Where do we meet? And so on and so on. Just typical conversation you'd find there. So there's just some root phrases that I've learned in any language, and then you kind of pick up the rest from there. But as long as you can at least kind of walk around, ask how much something is, you sort of pick it up. But, you know, a lot of people would say the best thing you could ever do in learning a language is to actually go there. And without a doubt, my Spanish improves greatly. Every year I try to go to Colombia with my wife. And I speak a little Spanish back in America, but when I go back to Colombia, of course, I am talking it all the time. And without a doubt, my Spanish improves tremendously over the couple of weeks that I'm in Bogota. So, you know, travel to the country, you know, learn a few basic phrases and just don't be shy. You know, talk to people. Don't worry about being foolish. Don't worry about pronouncing something wrong. I pronounce everything wrong. I have a terrible accent, but you know, if you need something out of the refrigerador, you're just gonna have to suck it up and say the word. So just don't be afraid.
Hey, Justin Whitman, how about a short break, and we'll be right back in Vilo Near.
Artefacto bloqueado. Un programa de entrevistas a escritores y lectores de diferentes manifestaciones estéticas que ponen en entredicho nuestras seguridades morales, intelectuales y sensitivas. Artefacto bloqueado. Escúchanos todos los martes, 10 de la mañana, por Radio UNAD Virtual. Artefacto bloqueado.
And here we're back again with Justin and Whitman.
Now, have you met Colombians who speak English? And if so, what are your thoughts on our English?
Yeah, I've met a lot of people in Bogota and in Colombia in general that speak English. And I've always actually been pretty impressed because a lot of the people that I've met speak English really well. The only thing I've ever found is that I need to speak slowly sometimes, which is completely understandable. Even my wife, she spoke English fairly well before she came to America. At least that's what she says. And she was a teacher for English and everything else. But then she noticed when she came to America, she thought that the American people spoke extremely fast, which is funny to me personally, because to me, when I hear Spanish, sometimes it sounds really fast as well. But the people that I've met that spoke English, I was actually really surprised and really impressed because it's been pretty good.
That's nice to hear. Wow. Thank you very much, Justin, for spending some time with us today. And any final words for our listeners?
Thank you, Leonardo, very much. I appreciate your questions. Thanks for your interest in me and in my feeble Spanish skills. I thank you very much to really your entire country and to Bogota and really anywhere I've been in Colombia. You are very, very nice people, very generous people. I have friends in Colombia that I met for 2 hours that treated me like I'm one of their own family members. So you're incredibly nice people. And thank you for that. And also thank you for your patience with my crummy Spanish. So that is very nice. You hardly ever laugh at me. And then besides that, to the students in general, I would just say keep doing what you're doing. As I said, most Colombians I've met that speak English, they're doing something right because I think you're very good at it. But keep it up, especially. It's a really great advantage, and if you have ever any dreams or interest in visiting the United States or moving to the United States, if you speak English, you will be in such a better place. You'll have such an advantage. There's a lot of Spanish people in America, as you've probably heard, and if you can speak English fluently and well, you will be in a much better place than a lot of other people there, and you'll be taken care of really well, and it'll just be a great thing for you. So thank you again, and I hope I'm not stepping on anyone's toes, but I guess I would say viva misionarios. I have to say that because my wife's family are crazy misionarios fans, and thank you very much. You've all given me way too much aguardiente in that country. But thank you, though. It's an amazing place, and I'll be back there this summer. So maybe I will see someone. Thank you. Bye.
So, dear students, keep studying and improving your English skills. You know, practice your listening and continue to be friendly to foreigners like Justin, who's not a foreigner anymore. He's half Colombian, right? At least at heart. And for English speakers, say nevera, you know, the Colombian version of refrigerador, and you will get out of trouble. Have a great day, everyone.
That's what I call attitude. I think our guest Justin has left us a big message. Regarding language, we can tell that we are so lucky to have Spanish as our mother tongue. Regarding culture, American people are so nice and so polite. They are always on the run, but they are nice people as well.
Sí, Leo, es muy cierto. Nuestro invitado Justin nos deja un gran mensaje con respecto a nuestra lengua y nosotros debemos sentirnos muy, pero muy afortunados del español, que esta sea nuestra pues lengua nativa como tal. Además que los americanos se caracterizan por ser buenas personas, son muy educados, a pesar de que en la cultura de ellos son muy acelerados. El día de hoy tenemos una invitada, Lidenis, nos está acompañando nuevamente. Entonces, bienvenida, Lidenis, ¿cómo estás?
Muy bien, muchas gracias, Mafe. Leo, ¿cómo estás?
Hi, Dennis. How are you?
I'm fine. Este tema que están hablando es muy interesante. ¿Sabían que el español es la segunda lengua más utilizada en muchos países? Es también el segundo idioma más hablado en el trabajo a nivel mundial. Ya entendemos por qué Justin se interesó por aprenderlo y por qué Mafe menciona lo afortunados que somos al tener el idioma español como lengua materna.
That's right.
Creo que al igual que Justin, debemos mirar el aprendizaje de una nueva lengua como la oportunidad de explorar nuevos contextos, conocer otras culturas y fortalecer nuestros conocimientos.
You are so right, Lidens. We already traveled to Argentina. Talk to a New Yorker. What about if now I'll take you to Italy?
Dale, Leo, claro que sí. Ya estuvimos por Argentina, hablamos con un neoyorquino y estoy lista para pasarnos por Italia.
Italia, super, me encanta. I'm ready. Let's go.
I would like you to listen to this. This song was made for girls like you.
Ragazze si lanciano ad occhi chiusi nelle avventure, qualche volta confondono la bugia e la verità, seguono l'istinto e l'istinto le aiuterà, sono treni in corsa che nessuno fermerà, no.
Le ragazze decidono il destino dei loro amori, i ragazzi si illudono ma non contano granché, quando ti sorridono è probabile che siano sì, ma quando si allontanano è no, e tu ci devi stare, inutile sperare di recuperare se hanno detto no. Meglio sparire, non telefonare, per sentirsi dire un'altra volta no.
Come se non ti importasse più,
senza farti mai vedere giù. Si può amare da morire, ma morire d'amore.
Testi delle canzoni sono sempre al centro dei discorsi di tutti noi che non conosciamo nemmeno la metà di tutto quel che pensano e dei segreti che ognuna ha.
Le ragazze volteggiano sulle ali degli aquiloni e noi innamorati che le seguiamo d'acqua giù. Guarda come planano, qualcuna scenderà,
ma quando si allontanano è no, e tu ci devi stare, inutile sperare di recuperare se hanno detto no. Meglio sparire, non telefonare, per sentirsi dire un'altra volta no.
Più
no, senza farti mai vedere giù.
Si può amare da morire, ma morire d'amore no,
no.
Le ragazze che sfidano le opinioni della gente hanno gli occhi limpidi di chi dice la verità, senza compromessi e né mezze misure, sono più sincere le ragazze della nostra età.
That was a very nice song. I want to learn Italian. I think it's a very romantic language. And this group is the best. I love their vocals. They have great lyrics and songs.
Sí, es muy muy linda la canción, Leo, dan ganas de aprender italiano, tienes razón. Además, que es una lengua muy romántica y el hecho, como dices tú, se caracteriza a los italianos por tener canciones muy con muy bonitas letras.
Yeah, right.
Sí, tienes razón, Mafe, me gustó mucho la canción. Es muy bonito cómo se complementa la letra con la melodía. Creo que para que una canción sea romántica, la letra debe estar acompañada por una melodía agradable. Esta canción tiene ambas características, definitivamente muy linda. Los italianos tienen y expresan inspiraciones muy románticas que son agradables al oído. Esta canción me transportó a otro lugar.
Yeah, Liz, that was very true.
La RV los invita a escuchar Salud Global, un programa que considera la salud como un estado de bienestar, donde el protagonista es usted. Salud Global, todos los martes 3 de la tarde, solo aquí, en la Radio UNAD Virtual.
Literature Time. Let the words transport you to a brand new world.
Borges bilingüe. Cada idioma es una forma de sentir el universo. Jorge Luis Borges. El pasado 14 de junio se cumplieron 30 años de la muerte del escritor argentino Jorge Luis Borges. Hoy, en In Bill on Air, lo vamos a recordar a través de su faceta bilingüe. Borges creció hablando inglés y español desde pequeño. En la biblioteca de su padre encontró libros de budismo, taoísmo, islamismo y muchas otras vertientes religiosas y filosóficas. En la escuela aprendió francés y latín. Fue autodidacta con el alemán, el italiano y el portugués. Se interesó por el escandinavo antiguo, lo cual le permitió conocer la mitología germánica y las sagas islandesas. El acceso a estas lenguas influyó considerablemente en sus escritos. En su producción escrita se conocen dos poemas en inglés, Two English Poems. Asimismo, se encuentran títulos en inglés de algunos poemas. On His Blindness, All Our Yesterdays, The Thing I Am, Yesterdays, entre otros. Two English Poems, escritos en 1934, aparecieron en una recopilación en 1943 en el volumen Poemas. Se dice que fueron dedicados a una mujer casada, pero su identidad ha sido un misterio. El nombre que apareció en la dedicatoria es Beatriz Bibi Lonnie Webster de Bullrich. Two English Poems son, en esencia, dos poemas de amor. Se tratan de un amor no correspondido. Hoy compartiremos una traducción al español por Rolando Costa Picasso y, por supuesto, la versión original. Jorge Luis Borges nació el 24 de agosto de 1899 en Buenos Aires y murió el 14 de junio de 1986 en Suiza. Esperamos que este sea un motivo para acercarnos a la vasta obra del escritor argentino que abarca cuento, poesía y ensayo. Dos poemas en inglés. ¿Con qué puedo retenerte? Te ofrezco calles mezquinas, crepúsculos desesperados, la luna de los harapientos suburbios. Te ofrezco la amargura de un hombre que mucho, mucho tiempo ha contemplado la luna solitaria. Te ofrezco mis antepasados, mis muertos, los fantasmas que los vivos han honrado en el bronce. El padre de mi padre, muerto en la frontera de Buenos Aires, con dos balas en los pulmones, la barba crecida y muerto, envuelto por sus soldados en un cuero de vaca. El abuelo de mi madre, de apenas 24 años, al frente de una carga de 300 hombres en el Perú, ahora fantasmas en desvaídos caballos. Te ofrezco la aprehensión que puedan haber logrado mis libros, la hombría o la agudeza que mi vida haya alcanzado. Te ofrezco la lealtad de un hombre que nunca ha sido leal. Te ofrezco esa esencia de mi ser que de alguna manera he resguardado, el corazón y centro que no trafica con palabras, no trafica con sueños que ni el tiempo, ni la alegría, ni las adversidades rozan. Te ofrezco el recuerdo de una rosa amarilla vista en el ocaso, años antes de que tú nacieras. Te ofrezco explicaciones de ti, teorías de ti, auténticas y sorprendentes noticias sobre ti. Te puedo dar mi soledad, mi oscuridad, el hambre de mi corazón. Estoy intentando sobornarte con la incertidumbre, con el peligro, con la derrota.
Two English poems. What can I hold you with? I offer you lean streets, desperate sunsets, the moon of the rock suburbs. I offer you the bitterness of a man who has looked long and long at the lonely moon. I offer you my ancestors, my dead men, the ghosts that living men have honored in marble. My father's father killed in the frontier of Buenos Aires. Two bullets through his lungs, buried and dead, wrapped by his shoulders in the hide of a cow. My mother's grandfather, just 24, heading a charge of 300 men in Peru, now ghost on vanished horses. I offer you whatever inside my books may hold, whatever manliness or humor my life. I offer you the loyalty of a man who has never been loyal. I offer you that kernel of myself that I have saved. Somehow, the central heart that deals not in words, traffics not with dreams, and is untouched by time, by joy, by adversities. I offer you the memory of a yellow rose in at sunset, years before you were born. I offer you explanations of yourself, theories about yourself, authentic and surprising news of yourself. I can give you my loneliness, my darkness, the hunger of my heart. I am trying to bribe you with uncertainty, with danger, with defeat. So I hope today you have enjoyed our trip around the world. We went to, through Italy, Argentina, and the USA. Thank you for listening to us today. Thank you very much for your visit, Lirenis. Thank you, María Fernanda.
Ok, bueno, chicos y chicas, de antemano agradecemos su fiel sintonía. Y recuerden, este es su espacio. Los esperamos en una próxima oportunidad.
Bueno, muchas gracias a todos por sintonizarnos. No se les olvide que si tienen alguna duda, inquietud o algo interesante que contarnos, nos contactes a nuestros correos maria.nieto@unad.edu.com
y leonardo.leguizamon@unad.edu.com. También recuerden nuestro correo invilonair@gmail.com. Síganos en nuestras redes sociales, háganse amigos de nosotros por Facebook @invilonairisback.
También en Twitter, @invilonair.
Y por supuesto en Instagram, @inviloa.
Revisen nuestras fotos, nuestros comentarios del día, temas, preguntas, cuestionarios y demás. Thank you for coming. Invilonair.
Bye bye. Bye.
Esto es RV, Radio UNAD Virtual.